the show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, we are translating the light of the Buddha's full moon. Here we are. So, indigenous people are on the front lines of planetary protection, says our radio guest this week, Michael Stewart Ani. And he writes to me, "Hi, Caroline Coyote. I've never been part of an action that spun around so quickly, and I'm so curious. It has made me more aware of the possible magic coyote power in the media that you speak of." Here to file good scouting reports, to cahoot with us in translating the light of the Beltane Buddha's full moon into our capacity to be agents for Bodhisattva Coyote, Michael Stewart Ani, my indefatigable Sun, Saturn, Neptune, Libra, Square, Uranus, effectively animistic spirit brother who travels with angels. And one more thing, and whose Pluto image is carrier pigeon fulfilling his mission, bringing messages. So welcome, welcome, Michael Stewart Ani.
Caroline, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Great. Yeah, yes, I can. Everything fine. Pleasure to be here.
That's wonderful. So let's go with your most recent scouting report, The Power of Messaging. I mean, I have the text that you sent out, you know, but you can tell it in your own words, this simple twist of fate.
Yes, and as you said, the email I sent you really kind of summed it up. About a month ago, a report leaked out of Brazil that Jair Bolsonaro, the president, gave permission to an evangelist U.S. missionary group, Ethnos 360, used to be known as the New Tribes Mission, before they were publicly convicted of pedophilia and crimes against indigenous people, then changed their name, got permission to go into the Javari Valley in Brazilian's Amazon, which is really the place where not many, but there were more uncontacted tribes in that area than anywhere on the face of the earth. And the Ethnos 360 missionaries bought a helicopter, and they were about to go in there to evangelize the last uncontacted tribes. And for me, spiritually, these are the people that protect the subterranean tree of life that we all need to survive. So this really, as I spoke to you personally on a friend level about it, it shook my soul to its essence. And because I had just gotten back from down south and went into lockdown, I couldn't move. There was nothing I could do. So I got on social media and started bombarding social media and the Ethnos 360 sites with information. Stephen Corey and Fiona Watson over at Survival International were doing the same, other people. And curious as it was, with an indigenous lawyer from the Javari who filed a lawsuit, the judge, the federal judge in Brazil, said in a statement that he heard and he looked at all this information he was getting bombarded with on social media. And because of that, he did a wonderful thing. He threw all the missionaries out of the Javari, and he went as far to say against the President Bolsonaro that he would use troops to protect the region. And in a moment, this, as you said, was an incredible victory. And I'd never been part of something in social media, which is foreign to me up till this year. And it was just amazing to have him so quick. But of course, the reality is this was a skirmish, and the struggle to keep the tribes alive, to protect nature for all of us, really is still going on. And that's why we're speaking today.
Ah, beautifully said. Beautifully said. No, that's right. No, everything, again, the stars, the sky story is behind us. Venus in Gemini, conversational arts, is still blazing in the west in the gloaming. And she's preparing her descent into the underworld to reclaim the arts of messaging and conversing. And square Neptune right now, which is either we can be distracted by delusion, or back to yourself, or wonder the greater assignment, sending and receiving messages, you know, to and from Big Mind on behalf of all beings. So That's great. No, and seeing you dance with that and wade into social media, and I even said, you know, perhaps an outline, me suggesting an outline, but you got very organized and it worked. And, you know, and again, as you said, the magic of that, and as you're here today, again, the ongoing radio magic, the persistence, the flow of messaging that we want to keep attention on it, because you were saying once something leaves the news cycle, and it's like, no, you are exhorting us to do what? What would you like us to do?
Right. Well, that was the thing, you know, and I had spoken to you and Richard about it, how now that this thing happened, and as you know, like the fires in the Amazon, in the news we have now, people know that the minute something happens, it gets dropped in news stories. And of course, with this story, after being, you know, really in the front of the media for a couple of weeks, now you didn't hear anything. So I was saying, what do we do now that, that, you know, the thing we were building up to do today has already been achieved? But of course, as you pointed out, and I've seen very clearly that while the Havati is momentarily protected, these same missionaries and the Brazilian government have been waging a war against the Yanomami, which has gone back to the days in the 80s when I was shoulder to shoulder with the Yanomami, struggling to survive the epidemics that once again were brought on by a very aggressive indigenous-hating government in control of Brazil at that time. So I realized that we have to keep going on, as I'm finding out that these Ethnos 360s missionaries have already entered Yanomami country. And although the mainstream media is saying that COVID-19 arrived in the area with illegal gold miners and lumber cutters, the fact is that most, and this is documented, that most of the diseases and the epidemics that have really raised havoc on the Yanomami and other tribes are actually introduced by the missionaries, partly because the missionaries are never able to evangelize an intact tribe. Only when the people are broken completely, watching their children dying from epidemics, that they can come in with a magic pill, a magic vaccine, a magic pill, and give them to the people. And when they feel better for a week or so, they go, oh, this magic has saved us. Of course, 2 weeks later, they almost always all die. And this is an ongoing battle, and this thing that we're facing, although it's far away, it has very much to do with the struggle we're all facing with COVID-19 and the epidemics, because the Yanomami and the tribes, this is not new to them. They've been fighting epidemics constantly now since the arrival of the Europeans, and especially since the 1960s. It's gone on and on. And right now is a big push by Bolsonaro and Anes in Bolivia and a group of people who are very much tied to the Ethnos 360, who really want to wipe all the tribes off the face of the earth. These two presidents literally say this so they can do development for everyone, where all science has proved that this will be the destruction of us all. And of course, the problem being, as you cut down the Amazon and remove these people who protected all these pathogens that are living in these places, and by the way, tropical rainforests are the only landmass on Earth where new life forms and viral all forms are constantly being born. It's a positive thing, but you cut down the barrier, and why we're fighting this pandemic, these people are releasing pandemics, epidemics that I've seen with my own eyes are just waiting there in the bush, ready to come out. So this very much is not about, oh, let's do the right thing and help these people. It's about, we need to help these people so they'll keep us alive.
Right. No, no, well said. Yeah, that's right, because I was and addressing the Guardian article, we are on the eve of a genocide, Brazil urged to save Amazon tribes from COVID-19. Yeah, powerful, and you've really summed it up, but it is dire, but it is anything anywhere is everywhere. Remember, I read you the tweets when we were talking backstage last night, from February 10th, 2014, Steve Bannon tweets, I just want to destroy everything. I am Lenin. I want to destroy the state. Trump responds in tweet and saying, yes, wait till the country goes to complete hell and there's an economic collapse and then we start riots and we can go back to how it was when it was great. That's the playbook. He lit the fires of chaos lust in the pea brain of the satanic toddler right then, going but that's everywhere again, the Bannon Bolsonaro the thing, and that's why again the likes of yourself and what we're constellating is so important, that we again that they are the chaos, they thrive on the chaos and the polarity and the heat and the riots and the, they don't care, death he loves death. It's like a game show, if we're under 600,000 it's fantastic. It's grotesque, and in the same way, so it is all one thing. So you're organizing the messaging is.
That's, I think, with all the negative of everything has a positive side, and COVID-19 has really brought some things forward. First, the point you're saying that we are all in this together. The minute you're excluding Venezuela or Tanzania or whoever, you don't like what they said, and saying, no, viruses don't care about that. If we don't take care of everybody and care about, we're all in trouble. And I don't mean take care of that, this magical one vaccine. And I've been in radical epidemiology projects with vaccines. I'm not against on one side or another, but I see the strengths and faults of it. And the problem with that theory, instead of bolstering the immunity, bolstering the earth, is with all the coming pandemics that can come and how fast they mutate, there's not a silver bullet vaccine. We're going to constantly have to take tens and 20s and 30s of vaccines at all times. So anyone who's really thought this out sees it's only playing into the big pharmaceutical. It's not the way that we can really stabilize the population. The only way to stabilize the population on the earth is to take care of the earth and be part of it. It's a simple thing, but we've been convinced that that's not real. But Mother Nature has stepped up and said, ooh, a little flick of my finger and look how the whole house of cards has fallen. These small group of people who believe they can destroy all the earth for their own bank books, because either they believe God has told them that God loves you and has made you rich because they love you and poor people it hates, and that's why they're poor, or they don't believe in everything and just see nature as this disposable thing to exploit. Mother Nature has now shown us, no, they're not going to get away with that anymore. Epidemics are her way to deal with that problem.
So when looking at perusing my Facebook feed, court blocks oil drilling in Peruvian Amazon, 1, 2, Amazon tribe creates 500-page traditional medicine encyclopedia, 3, Earth's lungs, Amazon forest saved, indigenous group wins case over illegal tree logging. So these are small, large things, right? Within the context of we're on the eve of a genocide. And then we had the story you just delineated, in which, again, I think an important part for all of us, you said the judge read all the messages and tweets, and he was like, I got informed. I didn't know, right? And I think, it's part of us to be informed and informing. They're the guiding narratives, because we're in a story storm you know, sleight of hand, chaos magician, time, and again, just discerning, you know. But back to what you said, crucial, bolstering immunity. That's right. I, you know, in the complex and nuanced conversation, but I definitely do not want to have the mandatory vaccine manufactured by Jared Kushner. Right? It's like, no. There's the corruption and incompetence. But artemisia.
Yes. And this is the great story, you know, both Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci, and, you know, Dr. Fauci's in a very difficult position, so little leeway, but both of them came out and said last week that botanical cures, there's never proof that they've succeeded in fighting pathogens and epidemics and all. And that is an outright lie, because how Bill Gates got involved with his chemical medical fantasy he's on was with the epidemics with the Yanomami that I was involved in the 80s. And we broke through with artemisia that we got from China, and why the pharmaceutical drugs we were getting in millions of dollars from many organizations were not working at all. The tribes had trouble with them. They caused other problems. The cure rate was 12 to 14%. When you got an above 60-something infection rate, that's not going to work. We came in with the artemisia, and not only did it have an 87% effect in its natural form in teas, something that the indigenous people could understand, not in a vaccine or pill that they have no understanding of, we got tremendous results, 87% with malaria. And we found out that it also worked against dengue fever, and it worked against schistosomiasis and yellow fever. And so here's a very interesting plant that does something when it enters the human body that is a natural defense of it. So I was out of the country when the first things came up about chloroquine. And of course, in my years in the jungle, I never caught malaria in 27 years. I took chloroquine once on a military expedition and was in bed for 3 months. I almost died. So I know the faultiness and the dangers, and sometimes they help these drugs too. But this concept, there's an outright force that's trying to keep any botanicals out of this story of COVID-19, even though in China and South Korea, they have come out and said that the areas that are using traditional Chinese medicine and botanicals are doing much better. And when I see this separation trying to say nature and what she gives us is not important, we're the technical scientific geniuses of the world, and we're going to solve this in a magic thing so you don't have to change your lifestyle and all. You know, hard for me to believe that one. It's scary that they're selling that. We need to use every tool and every mind we can. This is that point in human history. We have to rise up on every front and be the best that we can. And when people who own billions of dollars in these pharmaceutical companies are telling us with very serious faces that they're the only way to save us, I have to question that, because I've seen myself as Bill Gates was there and saw himself, that is not true.
Oh, no, we can dance to your words. That's really great. I'm dancing along, right? Because it's also right now, but before us, including the previously excluded narratives and voices. Again, nuance, what's excluded from this movie or that movie, but what's been excluded from the huge conversation. That's all of our assignment that you're doing so well. And then, you know, again, nuance, yes, and good to point the Bill Gates thing and the repetitive people who are dominating the narrative. But we are ecstatic outside around the edges. But you know, I'd mentioned to you, you said it was Madagascar. I couldn't remember the country, but the prime minister had said traditional medicines, artemisia, all right, we're going back to school, but everybody has to drink this artemisia. It's mandatory, right? And some of the students were like, oh, it's so bitter. No, I don't know. And I was like, I wanted to put it back to you too, going, I'm a little wary of the mandatory part, but the encouraging part, could we replace mandatory with encouraging?
Mandatory always to me, as you, is problematic. And any plant or any pharmaceutical, is not good for all people. That's a little bit the problem we've run into. We've tried to standardize all pharmaceuticals that what would help me would help you. But what may help one person may another person could be allergic to, or it doesn't help. There are some people who do not react well to Artemisia. The mass of people do, but there is definitely that. So it's this whole thing that this we don't have to change. We don't have to grow up and take care of ourselves and the earth better. We can just be on our same path, stuffing garbage food in our mouth and not living right and hurting the earth. And some scientists, don't you people think about it? We have this genius scientist who's going to think of a way to make everything okay. In spite of all that, I think people got to really question that, because that's reality TV. That's not reality.
Right. So now, you know, to conjure the people leaping up, and well, it's all related, right? Again, the energy grid and the excluded conversation again about micro intimate, restoring intimacy, so that you work with your herbalist and your healer, and you ensure that's community available, and well, and also your plan, you know, to go to Indian, you said the new foundation, to Indian villages, composting, planting herbs to get the medicinal plants of the region all going. Is that part of your
strategy? Well, you know, exactly. I was real. You know, this actually grows out of conversations with you in the backstage, Badger. Because both of you really, you know, I kind of started out with you two helping me. And I didn't really know anything about turning on an iPhone or anything. It wasn't that long ago. And both of you said to me, there's power and magic in the word. If you use it correctly, you can reach out. So I got on a thing that I wanted a totally non-confrontational way to really help, not sit at a buffet with a bunch of environmentalists and go, oh, wow, I'm saving the world. Pass me another bottle of pink champagne, which is quite the typical habitat of many of those groups, the buffet table.
Well, it used to be, but that's it's all gone now. It's all gone now. There we go. And we get to ladle out the desirable thing. All those buffet tables, they're gone. now back to you, the desirable thing.
So what I came up with is, this was down in Oaxaca, a village, Teotitlan del Valle, where I and Heather are very close to people there, and I ghost danced there, and the village really embraced it and said, you know, we would love to do this project with you. The foundation's called Talking Plants, and the project is El Jardín de Corrección, or the Healing Garden. And what it's about is, I have a friend who's an expert in designing compost equipment out of scrap. So we're going to go to poor places where they can't afford big compost machinery. We're going to build it out of scrap. We're going to take all the waste from their indigenous markets. We're going to run it through the system, all naturally, all very much using microbes, back to microbes, organic, and create this fantastic soil. And then in Teotitlan, along with Artemisia new and other plants that I have personally used in epidemics, the people there, the local curanderos of the Zapotec, they have their means too, and they're going to invest their plants into it. So each village can have an herbal garden in times of the coming epidemics, and they're coming. There's no question about that. What woke me up to it was, we're in southern Mexico, and we're seeing breakouts of dengue, Chagas disease, and malaria all over the place when we were heading south. And I know Artemisia works fantastic. And these diseases, believe it or not, we're obsessed with COVID, but the tribes of the Amazon and the tribes of America, it's dengue and malaria that's killed more people tens of millions of times over than any of these diseases. And there, in fact, the joke down south is COVID-19 is white people's malaria, because it's a thing that really is, to them, related more to industrial than to where they are in nature. So what we're doing is, as we go stance and go from village to village, I didn't want to just come with something that people go, whoa, this is magnificent. Hopefully they like it. And then we leave, and then they go, oh, that was an interesting thing. No, we leave a positive footprint, which is the healing garden. From every village, now that village not only has the seeds and the ability to make their own compost and grow these plants, because most of these villages have no health care whatsoever, but they can spread it to their relations as we travel further and spread it. And what the whole bottom line of it is, if we can keep the indigenous people healthy, they are on the front line of protecting us all. And that's what I did mostly when I worked in the epidemics in the jungle. Mostly what I did was be a go-between to the tribes and keep the doctors healthy so they can take care of the people, because they get sick very quickly. And I use that same model, that if we can, if I could be involved with people and do something that keeps the tribes healthy, I truly believe they are the front line of what's keeping the environment alive for all of us. And if you look at it on satellite maps, all the regions in the world that are intact are regions that are heavily populated by indigenous people. And that's a fact.
Right. No, absolutely. And we're weaving our medicine brew to reciprocal blessing. You know, altruism is self-interest. There we go, all in this thing together. Absolutely. Yeah, and including the excluded previously voices. Yeah, we're going to take a very short break in a few minutes here. Our wonderful guest is Michael Stewart Ani. His website is michaelstewartani.com. So, Artemisia, bitter, and also just weaving, welcoming all the nuanced conversations. You know, great spirit Auntie Marie Laveau, great voodoo queen of New Orleans, but she was in good with the heretic head of the cathedral, the Catholic Church, because of her Creole traditional herbal medicine work with people afflicted with yellow fever, right? So always, again, we're going back to honor that dynamic. And that's a beautiful thing. Again, the gardens, the healing gardens, which again you're teasing into, you know, for all of us, really, right?
In fact, that's the thing. As I am very much a believer, this has to be something for everyone, from the indigenous to the poor to the wealthy, and that's how it's set up to work. All people in the world will be able to get our seeds or get our products grown for their own health, because I feel in the Western world, whether you live in New York City or live in a suburb and have a garden, or you live out in the country, we should all have herbal gardens that specifically deal with our specific ailments and also epidemics, because there will be times, as we've seen with COVID, that you just can't get to outside medicine. And if you can't do that, even in the Western world or the modern world, we should all have this. So this is a project that's focused on the tribes, but really for everyone. I would love for everybody to say, you know, we have a little garden and I have diabetes, so I grow a plant that keeps my blood sugar in balance just in case I can't get my insulin. To the tribal people who say, when we take these Western American medicines, they always get us very sick, so we do better with these plants. It's for everybody. We're all part of it. That's what Mother Nature has just showed us. In a two-month period, she has done such incredible healing so quickly that if we listen to her, what she's saying to us, she's telling us there's hope, that if we really start working with her instead of trying to outthink her and outend her and believe we're the masters of the universe and our technology and science is going to save everything just because we're wonderful, not for any reason beyond that. That's what it's about. Mother Nature has showed us, like I always refer to Pete Seeger with the Hudson River, when he said it's going to take 24 years or something to clean the Hudson. And 6 years later, it was basically cleaned up. And he was scratching his head going, wow, Mother Nature sees something else. She really did this quick. Mother Nature has an amazing ability to heal herself and heal us along with her. But we got to stop trying to outthink her and move along with her. And that's what's going on now. Everybody's trying to take credit that COVID's going to go down because of what they did or this person or this scientist. No, it's Mother Nature. These are upper respiratory diseases, and they're almost always related to the seasons, like all things on this planet. Everything's related to the seasons on this planet.
Hold that thought. My guest, Michael Stordani, is on a wonderful, fluid, expressive roll. We're going to take a very short musical break, and we will be right back to keep it rolling again and translating the light of the Buddha's full moon and this democratic animism and all of that. And we will be right back.
She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Telegraph my indigo sky ship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, and our very, very fabulously channeling important messages to us all, Michael Stewart Ani. His website is Michael Stewart, S-T-U-A-R-T, Ani, ANI.com. There we go. No, you were in a great fluid thing, but that's good because we move kind of in this next part of our dynamic, what we also love, which is this, you know, behind us, the generous proffering, cooperators are standing by, this Beltane full moon that we translate the light, a lovely term, you know, but it's all about exactly what you just said. Calling in what is needed, pledging our humbled willingness to cooperate with nature's guiding genius, and that's part of the trickster dynamic, that if our hearts are, well, I want to toss it back to you, but if, you know, hearts dedicated opens path, and that's, you know, your recent going, wow, I've never been part of an action that worked so well, and we go, yes, out of the cauldron, right? You got the possible magic coyote power in media or information for all of us to be informed, discerning, nuanced, right? As we said last night, I said we want to keep our wariness, right? Coyote ears perked, and he goes, coyote ears upped.
Absolutely.
I love that, just to call out to everybody, coyote ears upped. Here we go. It's like a flight check going, is that switch on? Coyote ears upped, you know, so that we can be, yes, bodhisattva coyote, agents thereof. So, yeah, so that is a beautiful vision, and we are happy to animate that of the healing medicinal herbs, the, you know, participation, again, you know, intimacy, cooperation. You know, the chaos magician, I don't know what to call them, the chaos dementors, they do thrive on, you know, vitriol and polarity and the thing. And, you know, what we were speaking of last night, I go, well, Venus, square Neptune, discerning, but being messengers to and fro of the big picture, and we're all in this together. But she's trining Mars, and I think it says if we aspire to be messengers of the desirable story, and it's really the story is what we've got to elect, of sane reverence and ingenuity applied, and here's the vision of how that could be, you know. But it's like if we run on metaphoric fuel of spiciness and coyote, but fundamentally intended to liberate the circumstance, then it is likely that we could actually, you know, wander our way into ingenuity that a manifest external fuel that we run on. I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but it is, you know, Mars is energy, fuel, metaphorically what we run on, which is why, you know, to run on snark, like, is very gummy. It's the linguistic equivalent of tar sands, right? But again, so all of us here to kind of, you know, what qualities do we want to adopt? But you're on an eloquent roll. You're getting a lot of dynamic energy from the dynamic energy that you put out that's coming back to you, right?
Oh, I very much feel that, you know, how I got to live in the Amazon and among the tribes for decades. I was surely the unlikely candidate. I was a inner city gang kid. I knew nothing about this until I went to the New York City World's Fair in 1965 and saw the 2000 Tribes Prophecy Pavilion of the Wycliffe Bible Translators and the New Tribes Mission, which is Ethnos 360, and how they had this prophecy that the last 2,000 tribes on earth, when they'll be evangelized, they're going to bring on the end of days. This will be the thing that triggers it. And right there in that pavilion, in Cameron Townsend's pavilion, where on one wall were beautiful pictures of tribal people acting in horrible ways, lopping off heads, something they never did. And on the other wall, there they were with all their hair cut off in suits, looking very sick, and me knowing they were dying sick. It got in my soul right there, and it took me down there. And a thing you mentioned the other day, I very believe that because, not for who I am at all, but for what I gave. I was there fighting the epidemics. I've done many outreach medical projects on different places, from the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota to Mexico to many places that over the years I gave. And so I have a little bit of Mother Nature's ear, because I'm a son that listens to her. And I try to do that. So yes, I in my own heart, to me, I really believe I can hear the spirits and the voices in the forest. And of course, as you know, I do ceremonies with the remote tribes. And during those ceremonies, using what I call talking plants, which is what the name of the foundation is, I really believe there's an actual, I was speaking with Wade Davis and Dennis McKenna about this the other day, that it's not just chemical. We who've spent a lot of time in forest knows there's an actual dialogue that goes on. And as Wade said it so eloquently, it's hard for outside people to get it, because the people from there, it's so woven into who they are. There's absolutely no doubt about it, where even I, who have spent probably more time in the bush than I am out of it in my life, as I joked, I said, there are still those hungry moments where all I could see in my mind is pizza, you know, when I'm out in the jungle, because it's part of, you know, I grew up here as a young man, as a very young man. So I think it's really this communication with nature and letting Mother Nature direct us and working with her, instead of constantly believing, oh, this new technology or this new medicine is going to get us out of it. And curiously, us old enough to remember the early 60s, right up to Timothy Leary, and he said it so well, that he came out of a type of scientist that believed that chemicals were going to solve every problem humanity had. People really believed that. And since we've learned about pesticides and polluting the earth, well, how did that work out for us? Not very well, because you always have to be aware of nature. And I see Mother Nature has stepped up now, and she's watching now. Now, as they keep telling us, everything's different. I don't know what they're talking about, but what is different? We do have her attention.
Wow. Yes, I guess that's right. this very early morning Taurus Scorpio full moon, you know, is the Buddha's moon. Just to reanimate that, when the Buddha was born, and the day he attained enlightenment with his back against the Bodhi tree, right? Because nobody gets enlightened on this planet without trees. And so, you know, what it was suggesting to team is, well, it's a good time now also to sit, plant the garden, to sit with our spine against the tree. It's the springtime Halloween all around now, when the scorpionic invisible is especially eager to be invited into sensual incarnational actuality. Yeah, so when you, the talking plants, you know, and again, that yes, that our rogue species and our individual selves can step back into the conversation. Yeah, listening, conversing, and that's why, you know, the guiding choreography of Venus and Gemini, with so many planets about to station retrograde, which I view as metaphorically they're going to remember what they're really up to, Saturn to remember leadership, Venus again too, that we can have restored the arts of listening and conversing. There we go. So bringing in the entheogens, you know, as part of that messaging and to and fro, and I think effective collaboration. Yeah, I'm so glad, you know, to bring Wade Davis and Dennis McKenna from your previous conversing into play here too, because it's a great romp. And then just for nuance, can you pass on what you told me? You know what Wade Davis said about Terrence. Somebody asked him what's
yes,
his favorite
yes, I will.
Book
and then you touched on something so amazing. I have to hit on that afterwards. Basically, Wade's there with Dennis, and they've known each other forever. And someone had called in. This was another radio show we had done, and they said, "Oh, you know, Wade, tell us, you know, your favorite Terrence McKenna book and why it is." And looking at Dennis, Wade kind of laughed. He said, you know, Terrence was amazing. He was the provocateur who got the masses, not just the anthropology world, aware of these plants and all. Very few people really were aware of it. But he was a pontificator, and his writing was not for people like us. He said, I could never get my way through any Terrence book. And Dennis, of course, is laughing his head off as a scientist, you know, and Terrence's brother, that Terrence was more a showman that got the show going and did an amazing job. But a lot of what he spoke about was really his own journey through his head, as we mentioned, you know, I and Wade, who have just spent endless years in the jungle. I don't know if Terrence spent a month ever altogether. That was not his thing. You know, his thing was the intellectual aspect. So he would talk about that stuff. But from us who know it, it was very obvious he was just kind of getting over to get the audience in the Western world interested. But what you touched on to me, which is really such an amazing point with this, is that the plants actually have, this is their planet. They were here first. The civilization we have is because the sun and the rain and everything comes at the right time. And without the plants to make that happen and be part of it, you can't have civilization. So the joke we went to was, you know, people say, oh, we started out a micro life and became a lizard, then we became a bird, then we became a monkey, then we, you know, evolution. But we're realizing that evolution probably goes all the way back to plants, because there are actual animal kingdom things like the plasmodium in malaria that has the mechanism to do the plant's function. What's it called? I forgot the word. Photosynthesis. So that means that this animal at one time in its history was a plant. And so those lines are getting blurred now. And I think it's really important for us to understand that how we're all in this together. The plants, the people, the microbes. It's not that virus is our enemy and goes, oh, I want to kill people and eat them. Virus, when we get sick from viruses, it's actually them attempting to live in a new country, our bodies. And their failure is what gets us sick. Once they figure it out, we call that immunity, and then they're still in us. They don't go anywhere. We have billions of more viruses and bacteria in our bodies and our own cells. They are very much part of who we are. And that, I think, is the biggest story here of how we're all together and part of this thing together. And we got to kind of understand that if we're going to move forward.
Yes. And there's only one molecule different, a scientist told me, between chlorophyll and human blood.
Wow, I didn't know that, but that I would, could believe that it's that close. Yeah, and
yeah,
you know,
Well, it is. It's the restoration of the capacity to cooperate, and Venus. That we're in a festival. Oops, excuse me. We're in a festival of Venus again. Intimacy, cooperation. You know, undulating this full moon and translating the light on the full moon this morning. But everything important lasts forever. So it is a good time to step into the flow of vitality, which is so generously proffered at this time. A little even undulating if you're not driving, and you're not driving. There you go. Wherever again.
I'll
undulating people. What? Same. Sorry. Say what?
I said, okay, I'll undulate here for a moment.
No, undulating, I think, is again that wafting arms upward, snaky undulation for a moment every now and then, just even tapping into flow of supportive solace, a cahoot of participatory kinship, and because it is, back to you, Spirit Brother, it's wheel and deal time to broker alliances with what we love. And the throughout in our mythic body memory, people would, supplicate, come on in this quality that I may partner with you, that I may be, to protect wolves, become more like wolves, to protect the Amazon, become more like the Amazon. And also maybe, how did Jeff Bezos hoodwink that name? What is that? How did that happen?
I do not know that, but that's always interesting to me because, as you know, years ago, my foundation was the Amazonia Foundation, long before Amazon and all. So when Amazon came out, I was swarmed by Amazon, but it had nothing to do with me. It was that my first name of my foundation and Amazon was the same. So I really don't know where that came from. As I started with literally this concept of the word and the power of the word through the media can truly magically or almost magically affect things, which I just learned. I really got that concept from you in the Backstage Badger. When I started out, I was so afraid of technology. I didn't know what it was. And you were like, don't worry, Michael, you'll pick it up. You'll get it. And now I'm seeing, and that's why I've called for this type of action, that I really believe that if we pick specific subjects, very specific, and everybody for that day or two, 3 days points at that one subject, not this giant variation where everybody has kind of their independent agenda of the same thing, but we come together and do that, I'm starting to believe that there's real power in the word, as you have shown me that. And I'm seeing proof of it now. And that's why I want people now that the new tribes, Ethnos 360, their old name, are on the run. This is no time to let up. This is no time to let Jair Bolsonaro and Jeanine Anez in Bolivia go rampantly destroying the forest, which is what they're all about. And they're both devout end of day cultists to the max, that we just stand by and go, oh, we're in lockdown. What can we do? Well, I got so upset. I got on the media and started speaking out. I found my friend Stephen Corey yelling on it and Fiona and other people. And all of a sudden we got heard. There's magic in
this. There's magic in this. No, that's really good, and it's available to everybody. And again, part of our craft, to be messengers and informing, because what you said about the judge is so charming. Again, we distill that in our brew. I didn't know. I read the messages and apparently the tweets, or that's what you said, and it's good enough. And now I'm informed and I decide in the tribe's favor. And that's why, part of our team, to be informed and then go to approach going, did you know? Good sir, perhaps you have not heard this. Did you know about this? Because nobody faces off with "Did you know?" If you go, you go, "Did you know this thing?" So death spiraling. That's great. You know, keeping it going. And so we will post any directives that you have. We will spiral forth. You're doing so well. And then of course, Trickster. You know, it is described as, you know, we are an enhanced field of synchronous connectivity. So that's why it's good for us to wonder if we entertain that possibility that we're in an enhanced field of synchronous connectivity, you know, that we are the words with which the big story converses with itself through the agents of synchronicity. If we entertain that possibility, then what's the quality of what we want to connect with? And it just, and then we go, right. Yeah, and effective dedication as part of our brew, that kind of quality. So yeah, and did you know? So the ride has been turbulent, right? But you sound like you've been really riding this. It is a, you know, Plutonian time where everything is cooked down to its essence. Going but you're doing very well with that. You like death and rebirth.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's what we were talking about the other day, death and rebirth. And it goes back to what the tribes say when you know, people always come to me and go, "Oh, I went to spend a week and they made me a shaman and now I'm going to speak." And I'm like, gee, when I was with tribes, they lied to me for 2 years and then I had to learn everything before I could get everything. So you must be amazing to do this. But the point that I think we're getting out of it is that there really is something there, and it's people, as I spoke with Wade and Dennis about, and you, it's us who are a little bit now more elders, that these things have incredible power. What we're dealing with right now, epidemics, powerful plants, pharmaceuticals, these are things of great power. Good and bad, and anything of power must be treated with great respect, because it's not, no matter how good it is, it can do the opposite if it doesn't have that respect. And so that's how I'm seeing myself. I've been around long enough and through this enough to go, people, absolutely experiment, absolutely search your path. But this isn't a game. The days for, oh, let's sit around and read self-help books and make ourselves better by ourselves and not relate to other people, we've passed that course. Now it's time to take all that help and put it into action. This is the time for all of us to come out and not so much lead the way, but watch Mother Nature's flow. She's the orchestra leader in this ghost dance. She's the one calling the steps. We're the dancers. And she calls the steps. And I truly believe if we can dance with her, we can do amazing things. And that's why I don't want people to let up now, because they are absolutely... Bolsonaro and Inez are absolutely using COVID-19 as a means to get the tribes sick, to get them out of the way. The fires that came last year, I assure you, will be worse this year. They will be worse. That was kid stuff, because these fires, from anyone who knows the Amazon, knows they were started. These fires were fires from arsons. They were not the natural. I've watched the natural burns for decades. They look nothing like last year. That there's an effort to destroy this. And if we allow them to destroy it, we've kind of signed our death certificates. So we really have to not only look at our personal struggles with money and toilet paper and, you know, our kids in school, you know, real things for people, but there's a bigger struggle that is creating this smaller struggle. And we're in the time where nature, like a basket, wasn't leaking. But now that the leaking has started and the pandemics and things are coming out and they're jumping species faster, they're mutating differently, they're not the same as they were before. They've changed too, because they have an agenda for their survival and procreation. So they're very good at it. COVID-19 figured out a way. It just didn't happen miraculously. It figured out a way to get into people and spread itself to millions before anyone knew they were sick. That's a survival skill. That doesn't just come with every virus. Very few viruses besides the flu can actually do that. So we're really got to kind of, I think we're at a time with everything where we got to evolve and really see the very things in front of us, like what's going on with the Amazon. If we allow them to bring these epidemics in, which is exactly what they're doing, and kill off those people, the Amazon is a buffer zone. All rainforests are. Many of these pathogens and viruses are millions of years old. Some aren't. Some have come through more modern creations. There's all variation. And the bush, the actual forest, is a buffer, an immune system buffer that keeps it away from the mass of the human herd, which is us. So not the lungs of the earth so much, but if you tear down that buffer, and in my book, The Ghost Dance, An Untold History of the Americas, tells all about how that functions in the forest, how the epidemics come out. We're setting ourselves up for many, many years of pandemics. You got to realize that the Black Plague, when it broke out in Roman times, those plagues were lasting 2-3 years and going away. And through human error, we made the Black Plague last for 500 years. I'm more afraid of human error and letting these destructive people who really seem to want to be out to hurt us and the earth taking control than I am of the virus itself.
Right. Well, in our final moments, we get to toss things into the cauldron, like certainly distracting delusions. There we go. And, you know, in many sneaky forms that the Inquisition takes into the cauldron, rather. And all that you lay out is absolutely essential. And thank you. And then fresh from your trickster victory with communication team, you know, again, the desirable, that is a true story of the likely horror. Yeah, and our coyote ears upped, right? And
ears
then
up.
the desirable vision. We just have a minute for you to just weave a little desirable vision of Against All Odds. Here we go. Everything.
Here we go.
Humming and singing.
Very simply, If everybody, not asking for money, not asking for pledges, not asking to go anywhere, you're at home, get on your computer, get on social media. Find the articles. There's plenty out there. Say what you want to say or use my videos or my articles. A lot of my videos are on The Ghost Dance on Instagram. That's my handle on Instagram, The Ghost Dance. And I post videos there every week about this. Whatever you want to use, let's bombard the media and let's see if this little magic trick I learned from that backstage badger in Caroline can really, we may have an incredible tool in front of us, right in front of us, that only a few people like you are seeing. And if we could all see this tool, I'm starting to believe there's something amazing we can do. And of course, amazing is.
And we're spiraling out in incredibly effective succinctness. Bless you, Michael Stewart Ani. His website is michaelstewartani.com. And thank you. Thank you. We continue to cahoot in perpetuity. And thanks so much to Kirsten Thomas. I'm Caroline Casey, coyotenetworknews.com. Also on Patreon, Visionary Activist Show, and many ways to play Woof Woof Woof. We will reconvene next week. Thank you.